Please turn to 1 Kings chapter 22. Oh, it's not the same place. 1 Kings chapter 22, page 419 in your Scofield Bible. And beginning with verse 29, we'll read responsively through verse 34. 1 Kings chapter 22, verses 29 through 34, page 419. And let's stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went up to Ramoth-Gilead. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, I will disguise myself and enter into the battle, but put thou on thy robes. And the king of Israel disguised himself and went into the battle. But the king of Syria commanded his 32 captains that had rule over his chariots, saying, Fight neither with small nor great, save only with the king of Israel. And it came to pass, when the captains of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat, that they said, Surely it is the king of Israel. And they turned aside to fight against him. And Jehoshaphat cried out. And it came to pass, when the captains of the chariots perceived that it was not the king of Israel, that they turned back from pursuing him. And a certain man drew a bow at a venture, and smote the king of Israel between the joints of the harness. Wherefore he said unto the driver of his chariot, Turn thine hand, and carry me out of the host, for I am wounded. And that last verse is the text verse for tonight's message. And let's pray. Father, we thank you for this church. We thank you for your continued blessing upon this church, for the good summer, for the fantastic youth conference, and for all the positive things that are going on. And now we thank you, too, that we have this opportunity to meet together with our friends tonight and to hear the man of God. We pray that you'd bless and help us and open our hearts to the message. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to speak tonight on the subject, carry me from the battle, for I'm wounded. Carry me from the battle, for I'm wounded. These are the words of Ahab that were read a while ago. The Bible used the word host, but the same word could be the word battle. Carry me from the battle, for I'm wounded. Our Heavenly Father, bless in a special way your man tonight. And may your man be used of you to bless your people tonight. Drive a few nails in the devil's coffin in this service. Please help me to help those that I love. In Jesus' name, amen. The battle between Israel and for the land of Ramoth and Gilead with the Syrian armies were raging. And the enemy said, kill the king. Kill the king of Israel. They said, don't shoot anybody. Don't kill anybody else. You just kill the king. For if you kill the king, we'll win the battle. So their idea was to kill the king. Who was Ahab. And I digress now for a moment and parenthesize. The first week after the attack came on me, I was preaching for the out of town in Southern California. The National Bus Convention was being conducted at the First Baptist Church of Long Beach, California. Now, I had never faced anything exactly like this. And I did not know how different people would respond to it. So I, to be honest with you, I dreaded like everything to go. One of the longest walks I ever took in my life was the walk to the platform that first Monday. Now, folks, I've been preaching every Monday and Tuesday across this nation for over a quarter of a century. And I'm booked every Monday and Tuesday now, just about, if not solid, for two or three years. But I dreaded it. I was to speak with Dr. Tom Malone. I've known Dr. Malone for years, but not intimately as I would know a few other preachers. I've always thought, it's the first time I heard him, he was the greatest pulpiteer alive. I've always thought that. But he and I have been friends, and I've preached in his church, and he's preached here, but yet we've not spent a lot of hours socializing together. I don't do that with anybody, really, but I admire him tremendously. Well, I was concerned. I knew Dr. Malone knew about the attack. And I'll be honest with you, I dreaded it like everything. When I got to the airport in Los Angeles, Dr. Larry Chappell, the pastor of the church, met me at the airport, and one of the first things he said is that this is a letter from Tom Malone. He wants you to read it immediately. And I trembled. I really did. I just shook. I opened the letter and began to read it and began to weep. Well, this is almost word for word what it said. Dear Dr. Hiles, I am honored to be with you this week. He said, the devil always attacks the captain of the team. And you're the captain of our team in America. I want you to know that I am for you and that I plan to fight for you. I could not tell you what that letter meant to me. That was the first trip that I'd taken after the attack. But the line I want to pull out is that letter is, he said, you're the captain of our team. And the devil always attacks the captain. Such was the case in our story here. And I'm not saying I'm the captain of our team. He said that. But they said to the armies of Syria, I want you to kill the king of Israel. Don't kill anybody else. Just kill the king of Israel. Well, there was a little jockeying about it, but I won't go into that. Finally, an archer took his bow and aimed just right. And no doubt God directed the arrow because Ahab was a wicked king. He was the husband of Jezebel, and he was a wicked king. And God no doubt directed that arrow, and it hit just the right place and a crease in his armor, and Ahab was wounded. Immediately Ahab said, carry me from the battle, for I am wounded. Now I want to say this tonight. I think that pictures Ahab. Carry me from the battle, for I am wounded. I think he should have said, carry me to the battle, for I am wounded. Carry me to the battle, for I am wounded. I mean, the battle is raging. If Ahab only has a little while longer, Ahab, you don't have long to fight. Get to the battle. I do not believe that being wounded is a good enough reason not to be in the battle. He should have said, I don't have long to fight. I've got to fight in a hurry. I may be dying. I've got to fight. I've got to go to the battle. Instead of saying, carry me from the battle for I'm wounded, he should have said, carry me to the battle for I'm wounded. I think of those 700 men over in the book of Judges. I think it's chapter 20. They were in the army and they had been injured. The Bible calls them left-handed men. Now, in those days, people did not fight with bombers and rifles and machine guns and mortars and so forth. They fought with spears and swords. And so the main weapon of war was the right arm. Now, these 700 men in the book of Judges had been wounded in their right arms. They had a right arm had been amputated or maybe paralyzed. Or maybe a few fingers missing, or maybe a hand missing. But these men no longer could grip the sword and grasp the spear or hurl the spear. And so because of that, they had been offered an honorable discharge from the army. But these 700 men, I don't know, doubt there are many others that had the same thing, that had gone home. And these men could have gone home and had a parade down Main Street in their honor. As war veterans, men wounded in war, they could have shown their whatever they had for a Purple Heart.
in those days, and they had every right to go home. They had every right to get an honorable discharge. They had every right to be heroes. But they said, wait a minute, hold it. 700 of these men said, that were wounded, said, there's a battle still raging. Now, if we don't have a good right arm, we still have a battle. And there's an enemy out there. And they said, we still want to stay in the battle. Well, how can you stay in the battle? Your right arm is amputated, or your right hand is amputated, or one of your fingers is amputated. How can you hurl the spear? And they said, we have a left arm left. But you're right-handed. We'll learn how to be left-handed. And these men normally would have hurled the stone with their right arm, or hurled the spear with their right arm, or wielded the sword with their right arm. They said, we'll not be discharged. Now, they could have said with Ahab, carry us from the battle, for we're wounded. But they said, carry me to the battle, for we're wounded. Carry us to the battle. We're wounded. The fact that we're wounded doesn't mean there's no battle. And we still want to fight. Bless God. I love that scripture in Ecclesiastes. It says, there is no discharge from this war. There is no discharge from this war. God doesn't give anybody medical discharges from the army of the Lord. There is something you can do, and there's something you ought to do. And I think about this. I think so many things. I was up in Elkton, Maryland, preaching years ago. I was back in the book table, at the book table in the back, and a pastor walked up and said, Dr. Howells, I want you to meet my secretary. And I expected to meet some lady. He took me over back in the corner of the building over here, and there was a man in a wheelchair. He said, Brother Howells, this is my secretary. I reached out to shake his hand. He did not reach out to shake my hand. The pastor said, Dr. Howells, don't be offended. He's paralyzed from his neck down. And I said, pray tell me, how in the world is he your secretary? And he said, this man, Brother Hiles, when he got paralyzed, he still wanted to serve God. And so he learned how to put a stick in his teeth like that. And with that stick in his teeth, he types my letters. He takes care of everything. He has certain little gadgets that he has and methods he's invented. And he takes care of my secretarial work that way. Now listen to me, folks. Listen. Too many folks are quitting God's work because there's something wrong. I mean, the battle's still raging. And these 700 men, now there are many others that went home, and they had a right to go home, but these 700 of these men said, we'll learn how to throw with our left hand. We'll learn how to throw a stone with our left hand. We'll learn how to hurl a spear with our left hand. We'll learn how to wield the sword with our left hand. Now, you folks who are right-handed know that to do anything left-handed is tough. Now, I used to be somewhat of an athlete. I used to pitch semi-professional softball, and I can take a softball and throw it with my right hand, make it curve, make it rise, curve this way, curve that way, rise, go down, or I can hit a guy in the head with it if I want to. And I can, and to this day, I'll guarantee you, I can throw a softball underhanded as hard as you can throw one overhanded, and that's the days before they had this slow pitch girl softball. But but my right arm, I can throw a ball, I can throw a pass with my right arm. My right arm coordinated. That's the word I want. Stay out of my preaching. But anyway, it's coordinated. But now with my left hand, I throw like a girl. Like that. Like some of you. But anyway, I throw like a girl. And if I had to hurl a spear, I'd throw it like that. Now I can take a spear like that, but this, it's like that. But now can you imagine these men? These men, right-handed, arm amputated. Don't let that scare you, folks. Don't let it scare you. It's here for your protection, not to attack you with. But can you imagine? And the Bible says these men learned how to throw with their left hands until they could hit a hair's breadth. I would show you, but I don't have one to spare. But they could hit a hair's breadth. Now, imagine how much they must have practiced. Put a hair up out here 10 or 15 yards away and take a stone and throw it with the left hand, and they practiced 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 until they could hit a hair with a stone. Now, that's the kind of folks that get the job done. kind of people that said, we'll not run. You'll not get me in the back. I'm going to stay in the battle. I'll not leave the battle. If I don't have a left right arm, I'll use a left arm. I'll not leave the battle. Oh, we got too many Ahabs. Carry me from the battle, for I am wounded. No, sir, Buster. Carry me to the battle, for I am wounded. Now, I want to give you several groups tonight that want to be carried from the battle. First is the sick. Carry me from the battle because I'm sick. I do not think for a single moment because you don't feel well gives you a right to stay home in church. Brother, if you're closer to heaven, you ought to run to the church house. I think this matter of being absent because you're sick is ridiculous. Now, don't misunderstand me. There is a certain time when you are ill that you cannot get up and walk, but I'll tell you what, 99 times out of 100, the people in this room tonight who stay home because you don't feel well could be there and should be there. Carry me to the battle, for I am wounded. Carry me to the battle, for I am sick. I think of that one of the most amazing stories, and many of you were here that night. Dan Parr, that preacher from Philadelphia. I remember one night I was preaching in Philadelphia, the Ben Salem Baptist Church, where I'd been many times, and I was a good friend of Dr. Dan Parr, the pastor there. One night after the service, he said, "Could I drive you back to your room?" And I said, "Yes, you may." He drove me back, and he said, "Dr. Hiles," he said, "I just had a test," and I think it was somewhere in his mouth or something, gone to the dentist. And he said, I went to the dentist, and just for a checkup. The dentist found something wrong, Dr. Hiles, and he said, "The dentist says I have cancer. Down in there, I forget, his teeth or his throat or somewhere." And he said, "The dentist thinks I may have cancer, and I'm having some tests." He said, "Dr. Hiles, would you pray with me about it? I love you, and I have confidence in you. I want you to pray with me." And I did. But God did not see fit to heal him. I've prayed for hundreds of people who've been healed from cancer, but God did not see fit to heal him. He got worse and worse and worse until finally we had him scheduled to come to pastor school to speak. But he was so sick in the Philadelphia hospital, being fed intravenously, taking oxygen, 105 degree temperature. And they said, Reverend Parr, "No way you can go to Indiana to speak to that crowd." And Brother Parr said, "I'm going. I'm going." He didn't say, "Carry me from the battle, for I'm wounded." He said, "Carry me to the battle, for I'm wounded." And they said, "We'll not let you go." And during the night, that man got up with 105 degree temperature. Now, look, I get 102 temperature, and I'm about to die. I mean, I freeze to death. But 105, I'm talking about, he stood right here with oxygen attached to his body and brought his oxygen with him here, and his intravenous feeding looked like a man in a hospital bed standing up with all these things in his veins and in his nose and so forth, and oxygen going in his nose. He stood right, left the hospital, escaped the hospital, and got on the airplane and flew to Chicago and came to pastor school and stood where I'm standing and preached that night. You could hardly hear him, but we knew what he said, and preached that night, and 57 grown men walked down this aisle and said, "If he can do that, I'll be a preacher of the gospel the rest of my life," and gave their lives to the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm simply saying, that's what God wants. God wants some soldiers that won't take a discharge. God wants some soldiers that say, "Carry me not from the battle because I'm wounded, but carry me to the battle because I'm wounded." I think about that missionary Bob Hughes in the Philippine Islands. The man who was probably the greatest missionary in the world. Our own Brother Martin, first name. Rick Martin, no doubt has taken his place and has his mantle there in the Philippines and a great work God is using him to do. But this Bob Hughes was dying with cancer. He too came to our pastor school and stood right here on this platform, dying with cancer. Not long after he stood here, he went on to heaven. What did he say? He said what every single child of God said. Look, I am so sick of God's people thinking you're not supposed to serve God if you don't feel well. Would you show me that in the Bible, please? Would you show me in the Bible where it says you're supposed to stay home with a 100 degree temperature? Would you show me in the Bible you're supposed to stay home with a headache? Would you show me in the Bible you're not supposed to teach your Sunday school class because you don't feel well? Let me tell you something. We are in the battle of our lives for the cause of Christ. An old-fashioned, fundamental, old-time religion is in the fight for its life. Now, I'll tell you what. Independent Baptists are the last fortress of this kind of Christianity. I'll guarantee you. There was a day when old-fashioned Nazarenes had the old-time gospel. That's gone. There was a day when old-fashioned Church of God people had the old-time gospel. That's gone. There was a day when the Charismatics had a bit of the old-time religion. That's gone. I mean, you show me today one single group that has old-fashioned standards like Grandpa did and Grandma did, and still is after soul winning and separation and the old-time religion and altar calls and mourners' benches, except a few independent Baptists, you can't show me. I'm saying we are the last hope for the old-time religion to survive in America. And if you don't watch it, if we don't stand right, you sit in the house, could it be that the old-time gospel and the old-time religion could die in America? It did in England. England had John Wesley. England had George Whitfield. England had Charles Haddon Spurgeon. We were in England several years ago, going to the Holy Land, touring the Holy Land, Dallas, Fort Worth. But anyway, we're touring the Holy Land on our way, or coming back one. We went to England. We couldn't find a fundamental church to go to. I called Wesley Chapel, where John Wesley used to pastor. And I said, are you fundamental? And the guy that answered the phone didn't know what that word meant. He said, what do you mean? I said, you believe in the old-time preaching. You believe that sin is black and hell is hot and heaven is real and you must be born again. We're trying to find a place to go to church tonight. He said, I don't think this is it. That's John Wesley Chapel. Listen, England was the fundamental center of the world 100 years ago. She's gone tonight. And America is down to our last fortress. We won't listen. With the television as rotten as it is, and Hollywood a cesspool of iniquity, and the drug traffic, and I'm so sick of say no to drugs. Well, why don't you say yes to Sunday school? And say yes to training your kids. And say yes to what made America say no to drugs back yonder 50, 60 years ago. It was the gospel that caused America to be clean. It was the gospel that made you safe to walk down the streets. It was the gospel that kept young people from having drugs in school. It was the gospel that made us not have to have policemen in the hallways of our school buildings. It was the gospel, the gospel, the gospel. Ladies and gentlemen, if we fundamental independent Baptists bow our heads and bend our backs and yield to the compromise of a nation, we'll be just like England and just like... There was a day when Germany was the center of the gospel for all of Europe. But no longer. You can hardly find a fundamental church in Germany. You can hardly find a fundamental church in England. And brother, I'll die before I'll give up making it so you'll always be able to find a fundamental church in America. But we're not going to do it playing church. We're not going to do it staying home with 100 temperature. We're not going to do it because we don't. Listen, carry me to the battle, for I am wounded. I think about so many others. Thank God for Ray Newton. Cancer. Serious cancer. I'm praying every day for God to heal him. But he keeps on going. He's at his post in the PA room. I mean, he's here. Keeps on going. He doesn't say, carry me from the battle for I'm wounded. Carry me to the battle for I'm wounded. Thank God for Mrs. Richards. Keeps on going. Keeps on going. Has had serious cancer for months and months, but she keeps on going. Thank God for Mr. Bruick that died. I went to heaven several years ago. He got so weak he couldn't walk. So they carried him and put him in the pew here and propped him up. He got so weak he couldn't hold his head up. But he said, I'm going to go to church. They put him in a car every Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night and drove him up out here in the alley, opened that door, and put that man, laid him down in this room over here where there's a speaker, and laid him down there, and he couldn't even sit up, couldn't even hold his head up, but he came to church. Rise up, people of God, the war is on. But I don't feel very good. I think I'll stay home. Fool you, all that kind of stuff. Well, I've got a headache. Well, come to church with a headache. Well, I've got fever. Come on to church anyhow. You say, I'll give it to somebody. Well, give somebody a blessing. How about that? Ahab said, I'm wounded. I'm not going to live long. Carry me from the battle. Well, what kind of soldier is that? Carry me to the battle. What's that preacher's name in Ohio that had that illness where he couldn't walk to the pulpit? In Ripman, Ohio. You guys are dumb as I am. Kenny McComas, yeah. Kenny McComas, yeah. Pastor of a church in Ohio. Had a disease that kept him from walking. Crawled on his hands and knees like an animal to the pulpit. Some days would sit in a chair and preach, and some days would stand, sit there like a dog and preach, and on all fours and preach. But he preached! Carry me to the battle, for I am wounded. I think about Ken Smith out of the college. So crippled, he pains him to take a step, but he keeps on going. Carry me to the battle, for I am wounded. I think about Dan Wolf. His dad sent me a picture the other day, or an article of a paper when Dan lost his arm, when he was about 4 or 5 years old. And showed him pitching baseball with his metal hook he's got there. Averaged 35, 40 points a game in basketball with one arm. God says there's no discharge from this war. That means there's no medical discharge from this war. There's a battle going on, ladies and gentlemen. We have got... I'm saying for the sake of the next generation, for the sake of our kids, we've got to stay in a battle. And we can't do it letting every little spiddling thing keep us from our jobs. Every time those doors open, you ought to walk through them. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. If you teach a Sunday school class, you ought to be there. Sunday morning, every Sunday morning, on the job. Now, if you're so sick you can't move, that's okay. But it's a funny thing. Most of you that miss on a Sunday morning Sunday school, you can go to work on Monday morning. And bless God, if you can go to work on Monday morning, you can go to church on Sunday morning. We're in a warfare. This is no picnic. This is no Sunday school party. It's a war. The devil's trying to destroy this nation. I'll guarantee you this. I doubt if we really realize what he's done and how much he's behind the battle we're facing right now. The devil knows if he can destroy the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana, he knows he's gotten pretty well fundamentalism in America all taken care of. And the devil knows he can destroy the pastor of the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. He's pretty well got it cared for, but blessed be God, he's got a tiger with a tail this time. I'm simply saying the First Baptist Church of Hammond is not going to give up, and the pastor is not going to give up, and the deacons aren't going to give up, and Howells Anderson College is not going to give up. Carry me to the war. I'm wounded. I'm wounded. Take me to the battle. That's what we need. Stand up. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner. It must not suffer loss. Onward, Christian soldiers marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before. Carry me from the battle, for I'm wounded. Carry me from the battle, for I'm sick. Number two, carry me from the battle, because I'm old. Carry me from the battle, because I've served my time in the buses. I'm 40 years old. Let some younger people take over. Let some younger people start their own. You keep on doing what you've been doing. Brother Hiles, I'm 60 years old. Well, bless God, I am too. I'm 62. I got more kick tonight than I had in this 22. Now, it hurts more to kick, but it takes more liniment to keep me kicking. I've said it before, I'll say it again. I'm not going to retire. I've said before, I'll say it. I'm not going to rot. No, sir, no, I'm not going to rot. I may have to stand up here someday and vote like this, but I'm not going to rot. I may have a heart attack and you may carry me off to a hospital, but I'm not going to rot. Somebody said, Brother Howes, won't you ease up a little bit? Take care of yourself. I'm not trying to take care of myself. I'm trying to take care of God's message. I'm not going to rot. Carry me from the battle or to the battle because I don't have much time. I mentioned Dr. Tom Malone a while ago. Dr. Tom's about 72 years old. Why, he's preaching better than I've ever heard him preach in my life. The other day I was with Dr. Joe Boyd. Joe is almost 73. Still driving that big old van, a big old truck across the country, that stupid tent he's got, setting up that tent and fighting those tent posts and fighting the rainstorms. Still going strong. Why? Over the house. It's time for him. Let somebody else take over. Oh, nope. Let them take over their own stuff. Somebody asked me not long ago, said, do you have anybody in mind to take over your work? I said, yeah, you're looking at him. Yeah. You won't get rid of me, Buster. I came here to stay. You won't get rid of me. All the long tongues in Hammond won't get rid of me. All the poison pins of the Hammond Times won't get rid of me. No, sir. No, sir. No, sir. Well, you say, Brother Howes, you're getting up there in years. I am checked. I don't know how old I am. You get my age, you forget anyhow. I don't know. I'm simple. I was old Dr. Lee Robertson, still going strong. Traveling all over the country. How old is he? 78? 80 this fall. The 80 this fall. Still going strong. Amen. Carry me to the battle. That man right there, Dr. Evans, you don't know how sick that man gets. There's no way you know how sick he gets, but he keeps on going. He's got a disease, AIDS. And you add that to the sickle cell anemia he already had, brother, and that's bad. But he keeps on going. Rouse then, soldier! Rally down the banner! Ready, steady, pass the way along. Onward, forward, shout out, Hosanna. Christ is captain of the mighty throng. Yeah. Ahab said, I've been wounded. Carry me from the battle. What a general you are. What a king. I'd rather die in a battle than die in a hospital. Carry me to the battle. Take a little lesson from the devil. In Revelation 12:12 says, the devil has come down unto you having great wrath because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. The devil said, I haven't got much time. I better get with it. Great wrath. Why? He knows he's but a short time. Oh, I've used it again and again, but I love it and thank God for it. When that old man R.G. Lee was 90 years of age, he stood right here and preached behind this pulpit. Asked him to come and celebrate his 90th birthday here, still preaching strong. Went down to Texas and was in an elevator there in Garland, Texas. And three guys mugged him and knocked a gash across his head. And they rushed him to the hospital. And they said, Dr. Lee, we have to keep you here for observation. He said, I can't stay. Observe quickly. I got to go. I'm preaching payday someday at Levon Drive Baptist Church. And I'm talking about that was 6:30 at night when it happened. And he said, I'm preaching payday someday at Levon Drive Baptist Church tonight. The old southern gentleman said, they said, Dr. Lee, you may be seriously ill. He said, if I'm seriously ill, I'll still be seriously ill when I finish preaching payday someday at Avon Dry Baptist Church tonight. They said, Dr. Lee, you may have a concussion. He said, if I do, I'm sure it'll still be there when I finish preaching payday someday at Avon Dry Baptist Church tonight. And the old man, 91 years of age, stood up there for an hour and a half, preached like he was a young man. Why? He said, carry me to the battle because I'm wounded. To the battle. We're not going to win this battle going from it. Run to it. Some of you folks that are 75 years old ought to come and ask Brother Colton to give you a Sunday school class. Some of you folks that are 75 and 80 ought to join a foster club and a fisherman's club. I'm not being unkind to you. I'm saying we need you in a battle. Hear me. To the battle. For I'm wounded. Carry me to the battle, for I am sick. Carry me to the battle, for I am old. Carry me to the battle next, for I have sinned. Sinned? Don't you think if a fellow sins, that forfeits his chances of serving God? Not on your life. If you sin tonight, I don't care what you've done. If you walk down this aisle and get on your face and say, God, forgive me of my sin, and you turn from that sin, God will use you tomorrow. I'm sick of the Pharisees. I'm sick of perfect people. I'm sick of those that criticize folks who've gone to sin and say, put them on the shelf. Don't use them. God's not that. I said this morning, God came to Jonah and he said, Jonah, the son of Midian, I want you to go to Nineveh and preach in Nineveh, cry against their wickedness. And Jonah went down to Joppa, caught a boat to Tarshish. A storm came. He was cast off the boat. A fish swallowed him. There 3 days and three nights. And the Bible says the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. The second time. This modern generation of Pharisaical fundamentalists are not second time people, but God is a second time God. And if you sinned and that's kept you from serving God for a while, you ought to say, carry me not from the battle, but to the battle. I got some catching up to do. And we ought to be helping folks catch up instead of keeping folks from catching up. I'm not condoning sin. I hate sin. But bless God, God doesn't have anybody but forgiven sinners to use to get His work done. Don't sin again by quitting. Don't double your sin by doing whatever you did and then saying, I can't do it. Oh, yes, you can do something for God. There's not a person here in this room that God wouldn't allow to run a bus route. Not a one. There's not a person in this room that God would not use. I don't care what you've done. God will use you again. David murdered somebody and committed adultery with Bathsheba, but God used him again. Abraham gave birth to an illegitimate child through Hagar, but God used him again. I'm not for adultery. I'm not for murder. I'm not for illegitimate child. But I am for claiming every ounce of strength we can from everybody we can so they can serve God and be used of God in the battle we're fighting. Not a bunch of Pharisaical preachers running around this country trying to figure out who's done wrong instead of trying to get folks to do right. Trying to figure out reason why folks can't serve God. We all be trying to figure out reasons why folks can serve God. Bless your little pea-picking heart. You're not so hot yourself. And you Pharisees, listen to this tape. You preachers, listen to my tape right now. Checking to see what Howells is saying this Sunday so you can get your battle plans drawn. Let me tell you, you're not so hot either, Buster. But for the grace of God, you'd go to hell and burn forever. What you better do is let the peace of God and the love of God fill your soul and get everybody you can, no matter what they've done, and get them on their knees and say, ask God to forgive you and try to figure out what they can do for God. Take me, carry me to the battle, for I am sick. Carry me to the battle, for I am old. Carry me to the battle, for I have sinned. One of the sweetest memories I have of my relationship with Dr. John Rice deals with this subject. Dr. Rice has told me this himself personally, and I've heard him preach it again and again and again. He said, well, if you ever hear that Dr. John Rice has run off with somebody else's wife, or Dr. John Rice has gone out and gotten on dope or gotten drunk, become an alcoholic, he said, you start right away looking at a rescue mission somewhere. He said, you'll find me at the altar getting right with God. And then you'll find me preaching there in that rescue mission pretty soon. I may never pastor another church, he said, but you check the street corners in town, you'll probably find me preaching on a street corner. Because God's going to use me. Oh, let me tell you tonight, this building is full of people who are sinners. There's not a single person here that's righteous enough to throw a stone at anybody else here. There's not a person here tonight, I don't care what you've done, but not only God will forgive you, but God will use you again in some capacity. Go ahead, Pharisees, listening to this tape. Use it like you want to use it. But I tell you what, my God wants to use people, and God has nobody to use but sinners. I'm not talking about God using people who are drunk right now and drinking right now and living in immorality right now. I'm not talking about it. I'm saying God will forgive anybody's sin, and God will use anybody who has sinned in some capacity in the war. Carry me from the battle, Ahab said. For I'm wounded. Sorry, Ahab, you ought to say, carry me to the battle, for I'm wounded. And that's one of your problems, Ahab. You're a dirty coward. Carry me from the battle, for I'm sick. I'm sorry. It ought to be, carry me to the battle, for I'm sick. Carry me from the battle because I'm old. Hold it. It ought to be that way. Carry me to the battle because I'm old. Carry me from the battle because I've sinned. No, hold it, hold it. No, no, no. Carry me to the battle. You've got some making up to do. And then carry me from the battle, they say, because I failed. I pastored a church, they say. I was a flop. Well, then get another one and succeed. I'm not talking about sin now. I'm talking about failure. As far as opposite to what we call success. I failed. I guess I'm not meant for the ministry, some preacher says. Well, you're going to fail in somewhere else too. I get a little tired of fellows walking in my office. Hair's messed up. Haven't shaved for 2 days. Shirt's turned up like that. Tie's sort of like that. Coat's too big and won't fit. I can't find one for myself that's too big. And they walk in and say, Dr. Howes, I think God's called me to preach. I flopped at everything else. Bless your little heart. If you flopped, get up and succeed. Success is just a little farther down the road to failure. You keep on failing, brother. Bless God, you'll succeed. You've heard me say this again and again and again, but everybody here knows what I'm talking about. When I learned how to ride a bicycle, I learned how to ride a bicycle just like you learned how to ride a bicycle. And I'm going to give you in one long sentence the story and the biographical sketch of my learning how to ride a bicycle. I failed and 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 I failed. And I failed 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 and I learned how to ride a bicycle. Yeah. That's the way you learn how to do anything. You just get up and try again. Bible says the wise man falleth 7 times, but riseth up again. That means if you've fallen, get up again. First sermon I preached lasted for 3 minutes. I sat down and cried in failure, but I got up and preached again. First church I pastored, we grew from 7 in Sunday school to 9 in Sunday school, and that's because Ms. Howes and I joined. Didn't have one single person join that church. And the entire year I pastored that church. And I failed. I was a flop. But I got up and tried again. I was down in Fort Benning, Georgia. I wasn't in Fort Benning. I was in Columbus, Georgia, near Fort Benning, week before last, preaching. So many memories flooded my soul. Like when I joined the paratroopers and they gave me the physical examination. Well, I'm colorblind. I mean, I don't mean I can't tell what color you guys are on the front, but I mean, you're maroon. I can tell, a dark green. I can tell. But anyway, I'm 5% colorblind, and I can see colors on that color chart that you can't see. I can see numbers in those things. You can't see them. The fella gave me the test when I went in the infantry, and I tried to join the Navy, Naval Air Force, and they gave me the test, and I flunked the colorblind test, and I thought I was doing well. He said, what's there? An 8? What's there? A 5? What's there? A 3? I got them all. Wrong. But I wanted to be a paratrooper. And I was going to be a paratrooper by cracking. So what did I do?
I crawled around the guy in front of me who was taking the color test and gone the other side. And I still haven't had a color test for paratroopers. And I'd have killed the inspector if I'd have had to. I aim to be a paratrooper. I'm not like you folks that fail. I'm going to succeed. I'm in a battle of my life right now, but I can guarantee you one thing. So are the people in the battle with me in the battle of their life right now, too. You may put me in the battle of my life, but you're going to... I'll tell you what. If I go down, I'll have some of your eyeball in my fingernail. Well, my problem wasn't over. They gave us another physical right before they shipped us out to train, right down to Fort Benning, Georgia, where I was the day. I'm talking about 85 years ago now. But they x-rayed me, and they x-rayed my spine. And they said, something in the bottom of your spine is wrong. There's something bad down there. They said, you can't go ship out with the other guys and for training. I said, yes, I can. No, you got to stay here. They put me in a hospital. My outfit was leaving that night. I found out where my outfit was boarding, what trucks they were boarding. I put some sheets outside the window of my hospital room. And I crawled down, bless God, I was going to be a paratrooper, not a sailor. And I crawled out of that room and got on the trucks and whipped my outfit, and I still don't know what's wrong with my spine. I'm guessing a little yellow, but other than that, it's all right. And I haven't checked yet. And I haven't gotten the results of the test yet. And they haven't contacted me yet. And so they put me in training. First day we had to run a mile. I had 103 feet temperature. I said to the sergeant, I think I'll stay.
He said, I think you'll come out.
I ran. I vomited all the way. I even puked a bit. I vomited all the way. When I was about 100 feet from the finish, mile run, we had to run 1 mile first day, 2 miles the second day, 3 the third day, up to 10 miles the 10th day. And I don't mean stopping for a break. I mean running 10 miles without a stop. I still run. I jog every day. I can make 3 laps to this day around my desk. You saw my desk, you'd think that's a miracle. But I fell in my own vomit. I did. And I lost my consciousness. Sergeant walked up. He kicked me in the side like I like to kick some of you Sunday school teachers in the side on Sunday morning when you're home bed. And he said, soldier, when we quit running in this outfit, we crawl. And I crawled in my vomit for 100 feet and crossed the line. 1,100 men started training with us, and of the 1,100, 791 failed to pass the physical. I'm talking about the training. 309 of 1,100 men got their wings, but you're looking at a guy that got his. And I'd have died or gotten it. Why? Carry me to the battle, for I'm colorblind. Carry me to the battle because I got a crooked spine. Carry me to the battle because I got 103 fever. Carry me to the battle because I'm vomiting. I'm saying God Almighty wants some soldiers who don't seek discharges. Let somebody else take my place in the bus ministry. I'm getting old. Nobody can take your place. Anybody that works in the bus ministry, new people work in the bus ministry, ought to create a new place. We shouldn't have no net gain when new workers come. Carry me to the battle, for I'm sick. Carry me to the battle, for I'm old. Carry me to the battle, for I have sinned. Carry me to the battle, for I failed. Carry me to the battle, for I've been attacked. Well, you say, Brother Howell, somebody at the church, and I'll tell you what, this makes me want to throw up on you in love.
Well, I'm not going to come back there anymore because somebody offended me. Now, look, we probably have tonight in this room 5,000 people. Now, that just one person out of here may offend you someday. And you may offend them someday. But I'm not going to go back because I am offended. Win a war that way. Try that tomorrow at Open the Great Lakes, fellas. Tell the, what do they call sergeants in the Boy Scouts? What, petty officer? Huh? Go back to your petty officer tomorrow and say, you hurt my feelings. I'm going to another camp. I'm going to move my membership. I am offended. There's a battle going on. We need the soldiers, the paratroopers, and even the Boy Scouts back there. Battle going on. Carry me to the battle. For I'm attacked. Brother, you think you're being attacked. You think... I got so many hurt feelings right now, I can't pass them all around. Ask you a question. You folks that can't take it because somebody offends you in the church, what would you do if you were standing right where I'm standing these days? What would you do? Carry me to the battle for I'm attacked. People all over the country say, "Well, the house, don't quit." You may as well tell a polecat to quit stinking. Quit? Quit? I can't even spell it. Quit? But Brother Hounds, you've been attacked. Terry, to the battle! To the battle! Nothing in the world your enemy wants more than for you to quit. Nothing in the world my enemies want more than for me to quit. Wouldn't they laugh up their backslidden pharisaical sleeves if I said, I'm just taking all I can take? I'm not saying I have no troubles. I'm not saying I never hurt. I'm not saying I never cry. I'm not saying I never have a down day. I'm saying I never think about turning back. Think about it. Carry me to the battle. Because I'm wounded. Carry me to the battle. Because I'm sick. Carry me to the battle because I'm old. Carry me to the battle because I've sinned. Carry me to the battle because I've failed. Carry me to the battle because I'm attacked. Carry me to the battle because my feelings are hurt. You have dawn on you when you get your feelings hurt and pull out. In the first place, you never pull out and go to a church that has more convictions than the one you have. And you never get mad at a church like this and never get upset at a church like this. And go to a church where you're stronger. I'm simply saying there's something. Now, I'm saying there are extenuating circumstances. But normally, 99 times out of 100, there's some other reasons other than your feelings being hurt. You're tired of your teenagers having to wear dresses, girls wear dresses to activities. You're tired of screaming at your boy to get a haircut. Not the preaching. And by the way, you say, well, I'll show him. Show me. I mean, you decide to pull your kids out of church so they can go to the devil, and you're getting back at me? You remind me of this guy, Italian fellow in New York City. Garibaldi is the George Washington of Italy. Italy? Yeah, Italy. He's the George Washington of Italy. And this Italian fellow in New York City was selling little dolls, you know,
little images of George Washington and Abraham Lincoln and Garibaldi. And a fellow walked by in New York City, this Italian fellow said, "Want to buy Garibaldi? Want to buy Garibaldi? Want to buy Garibaldi?" And an American said, "Garibaldi." He reached out and took that little figure of Garibaldi and broke it on the sidewalk. And the Italian fellow reached out and picked up his own little figure of George Washington. He said, "You break my Garibaldi, I'll break your George Washington." Look, laugh when I tell them. I haven't got time to wait around. You retardos to catch up. And that's what you're doing. Yeah, you hurt my feelings, I'll break on my neck. You hurt my feelings, I'll go to the devil and show you. You break my feelings, I'll let my kids go to the devil. Yeah, you hurt my feelings. You break my feelings. Won't you get some sense? Why don't you quit saying, "Take me from the battle because my feelings are hurt," but take me to the battle. And I'll guarantee you one thing. You go to the battle, you'll forget about your feelings. I tell you what, brother. You get in a foxhole in the middle of a war, you won't look over the guy and say, "You're not treating me right." No way, Jose. You let these policemen back here. Here comes the call. Come to certain streets, certain part of this. There's a guy inside a house that's shooting everybody. Or he's out here in St. John at Kmart, and he's shooting folks. And the policemen go out there, and they look sit in the car and say, "You didn't speak to me very nicely. And those bullets are coming by your head, son. You don't think about that." And everybody gets his feelings hurt. He's quit fighting. One of our Hammond Baptist, by the way, in case you get hopes up, this book that has just been closed can be reopened at any moment. And most often is reopened. So ladies, don't put your shoes on yet. One of our graduating class of 1900, Hammond Baptist High School graduating class of 1979 had their 10th reunion. Had a nice little booklet printed. And somebody brought me one. I made a mistake of reading it right before the service. I wish I had enough. Kids that I risked my neck for. Kids I spent literally hundreds of hours with trying to salvage them. Some cases got their moms and dads back together. Live within a few blocks where I'm standing right now and don't even come to this church. I wanted to scream to them, "You don't understand what it cost me. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about my life to put those buildings out there in Baptist City." Some had the audacity to send their picture in with long hippie hair. Thank God a lot of them are doing well. But I wish I hadn't looked. I really do. And I wish I hadn't done it right before the service. Say, "What are you going to do about it? Is it worth it all?" It's worth it if just one turned out right. But I want to make this very plain. If none turned out right, the old man's going to keep on going. I'm not serving God so things will turn out right. I'm serving God because God told me to serve Him. Win, lose, or draw, I'm in the battle. And I'm in the battle to stay. How about you? "Well, I just can't finish college with the house. It's hard." Well, battles are never really fun. You don't serve ice cream at battles. You don't serve banana splits in battles. Whoever said battles were... The Bible said we're soldiers. Endure hardness as good soldiers. The Bible said there's no discharge in this war. You want an engraved invitation to come to the war. We're in a war. And you're saying, "Carry me from the battle. I'm wounded. Carry me from the battle. I don't feel good today. Carry me from the battle. I'm getting old. Carry me from the battle. I've sinned. Carry me from the battle. I've failed. Carry me from the battle. My feelings are hurt. I want to say again in closing. And then I'll say something else in closing again. But I want to say again in closing. This is not a matter of go to the church of your choice. I never forget. Preacher I know was so over, as kids were watching a television program on Sunday morning, a Christian television program. And his dad was a pastor there in the area. And his mother was watching, their mother was watching, and his kid watching them while they were watching television, and the kids didn't know it. And when the program went off the air, the moderator of the program said, "Now, boys and girls, don't forget, tomorrow go to the church of your choice." And these preacher's kids looked at each other and said, "We can't do that, can we?" They said, "We can't do that, can we?" There's more to this thing than, well, I'm going to find the church I like the best. The church you... Well, if I found the church I like the best, I'd like to be able to preach about 10 minutes. Why don't you find the church you need the most? When I look for a doctor, I don't look for a doctor that I like the best. I look for a doctor who can take care of me, make me well. You may have to... Talking to Dr. Gere goes up here the other night. He's an open heart surgeon. I got some hearts in the church here I wish he could work on. I asked him, I said, "How do you open a chest?" He said, "With a power saw." I said, "A power saw?" A power saw. Can you imagine? Plug it in the wall. Turn it on here. Boom. He's going to do that tomorrow morning. And he likes it. But I'm not going to go to him if I have heart trouble. No way. I'm going to go to the doctor of my choice. I'm going to go to this pretty eye doctor I went to out here. I went out to have my eyes checked, and I don't have an eye doctor. I just saw an eye at the place out in River Oaks. Eye something. What? Eye lab? I don't know. Some big old deal. I went out there. And I waited for the doctor. After a while, they said, "The doctor will see you now." I walked in the doctor's office. This pretty little thing, about 35 years old. About 5'4". Looked like she weighed about 95 pounds or so. She said, "Would you have a seat?" I said, "Yeah." She came right up that far from me and took that thing, started looking at me. And I said, "Don't take my blood pressure now, ma'am. I'm old, but I'm not dead, folks." I said, "Don't you want me to come back?" That's right. I'm going to go to her, not him. She gets up like that with perfume on, looks in your eye, and he gets a power saw. You know what you need? You need to go to a church where the preacher's got a power saw. You got some of these preachers around this area just as effeminate as that gal doctor I was talking about. Get you a man for a pastor. Got the power saw. Get you a guy to stay in the battle. Carry me from the battle. That's what you say. Let's change it tonight. Carry me to the battle. I'm getting old, so I've got to get busy. I don't have as much time, so I've got to work harder. I don't feel well, so I've got to get with it. I may not have long to live. I've got to serve God while I can. Carry me from the battle, said Ahab, for I'm wounded. That revealed his character as much as anything that ever happened in the life of the wicked king Ahab. That's the way he lived all his life. I say he should have said, "Carry me to the battle, for I'm wounded." Shall we stand?